It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Everything was neat. All the chairs were tucked in. It was fine. I didn't have to move anything, and I just walked through and came back. And then just now, I got up and walked around, did the same loop, and there were like 10 chairs as askew in there as I've ever seen. I don't understand. Like, what happened to those chairs?
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know. What would make the most sense?
And the Bulldog.
I am shook by this. Honest to God, I do not understand what just happened.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Did you go down there during a break and move the chairs?
I've been doing it every day.
It was me all along!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Occam's Razor wins again. No one else is here. I'm here. I know you didn't suspect me. Sounds like it could have been a good little episode of Perry Mason or something. Has the show ever sounded older? Now it's about to sound even older still. The Home Run Derby is on Netflix. Well, good thing I pay $22 a month for that. I even like Netflix. I have less enthusiasm for other streaming services. I feel like I'm just like obligated to buy so I don't miss that one football game or whatever it is. TNT, HBO Max to watch the Sabres in the playoffs, Netflix to watch the Home Run Derby and maybe one or two other things that I think there are, Peacock to watch Thanksgiving football and maybe that one playoff game. What else? Prime to watch Tuesday Night Baseball if I'm that desperate. I'm not even done. It's just depressing. I was at a hotel in Delaware over the weekend. I know. Don't go crazy with excitement. But I was in Delaware with my son for a lacrosse tournament, and the guy was great. He had a small restaurant in the hotel, and he was super, you know, friendly, and just it was a nice vibe. And he had four, middle of the day on Saturday, had four TVs, and two were on, one on the left was World Cup, great choice. The second one was the Phillies. Phillies are playing the Tigers. It's right outside of Philadelphia, so I think that's, Philly are their sports, that's their sports ethos. The fourth one was maybe also the Phillies. I couldn't even really see it. The third one was professional softball. I saw Eric Collins as one of the broadcasters on professional softball. I think he's the guy who might have replaced me in Rochester 30 years ago with the Red Wings. He's been around a long time doing these niche kind of things. And it was professional softball. And I said to my son, did you know there was professional softball? And he said, yes. And I'm like, okay, well. And then somebody came in and asked the guy running the restaurant, do you have the fights tonight? And he's like, no, we don't get Paramount Plus. I guess you needed Paramount Plus for McGregor. And the person was like annoyed and left, and you had to go out. Just what, where are the limits on this? I mean, how much money is it to have everything covered? $100 a month at least to have, not even like your YouTube or your Fubo or whatever, like your whatever basic set of channels. Is it like $100 a month to add on everything so that you don't miss a big game or a big fight? I think it might be. So, my son ended up, it was a godsend to me because he had teammates who were going out to another place that had the fights. And I'm like, great, go. You'll be happy. And I can just go to bed and watch Argentina. Like, I'm exhausted. It's hot out there. How at the end of these days of youth sports am I more tired than the kid? I went to one this weekend in Delaware, lacrosse. I've never seen a bigger complex and a bigger deal for one of these things than this one. It was 14 fields running all the time, all day into the evening, Saturday and Sunday. He's in the oldest group now. So our last games on Saturday were at 6 p.m. and you got to get there early, and the early games are happening too. So the place is already completely packed by the time you get there, and you're lucky to make it on time. And then Sunday was the same thing. We were the last ones out both days. Yesterday, we got out of there at like 6 o'clock, and I drove home, and I got home at maybe 1:30 this morning. But this one had, you know, I'm used to these. If you're a lacrosse parent, if you're a soccer parent, baseball, you're used to these weekends, these sprawling fields, often with no coverage from the sun. So you're just going to bake out there and there's no place to hide. And you got to bring your own chair. I mean, there's a whole thing where you've got your water and you've got your snacks and your oranges or whatever it is to get through. Then you've got your chair for the parents to be able to sit, or else they're going to stand or they're going to sit on the grass or the turf. Then you've got, you see people with those wagons that are there to carry the chairs and drag the water around. Like, they've got the wagon people. And, you know, okay, so this place in Newcastle, Delaware, huge event. We were in a division with nine teams, seven different states. They played a team from Minnesota. They played a team from Georgia. They played teams from all over the place in this division. So it's a big one. And they have a sign, so you get there, and the parking lot is closed. There's one parking lot at the main facility, and it's cones. You can't get into it because it's already full from the teams and the parents who are playing at 8 a.m. Fine. There are signs everywhere, no parking on the street. And there are police everywhere. Like, there were five or six cop cars the whole weekend, lights flashing, one on the road, on the curb, others in this other side lot. Like, just, you had to get it right. And people didn't have a choice. They couldn't get into the lot. There was another, like a side lot. It's worse than the Bills. Like, it's not even, way worse. There's this side lot that looks legit. You take a turn down the road and get into side lot. Great. I've got another few hundred cars who can fit in there. And it looks like you have this easy access to the fields. No, it's fenced off. There's literally no way in. So you have to walk. I mean, it could have been a mile. You had to walk all the way around on the street, cars parked on each side, cars coming back and forth to get in. And then, you know, you go to one of these, you know, you get in and then you're on field 14. And that's way over there. And just like, I was exhausted both days. It was good for me. These, I wish I could have just documented it for you. These lines of cars, it was like 7/10 of a mile or longer, in more, way more in the other direction, like a mile or more in either, in one direction. I don't know. What do I want to say? A 2-mile stretch of cars along the street. Where do you go that it's like that? I mean, you go to a concert somewhere where it's just absolutely insane and there's nowhere to park. 2-mile stretch of cars each side of the road. And literally, like, there was this old couple. The guy had a cane and she had a walker, and they were not even within a 1/2 mile of the entrance to the facility. And they're just slowly trudging along to get to their grandkids' 8-year-old lacrosse game in Delaware. And I just felt so bad. There was no like drop off place. Otherwise, great time. I mean, really, the games were good and the competition was excellent, but man, and to taunt you, there was this huge dirt. Some of you were there. I know there are a half dozen or more Buffalo teams who were there. This huge dirt area that the cops all blocked off that kind of looked like it was meant to be parking, but it wasn't paved or it wasn't ready. And so you could not get in there, which just made for a nightmarish. I tried everything. I went around the facility to try to find if there was an entrance into the back. There is no entrance. It's like trying to walk onto Bethpage without going through the main gate. No chance. And I don't know. It was 90 degrees both days, and there's no cool, there's no air conditioning. There's no, I don't have a wagon. I'm not a wagon guy. I didn't have a wagon with bottles of water and fruit. Just, you're on your own. So a couple of times this weekend, I would walk all the way back to the car, 1/2 mile or more away, and then just sit there because there were 3-hour gaps between games. I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing out that I got a lot of steps in, Disney levels of steps, the last 2 days, and then ended up coming home at 1:30. Made it. Hi, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. Let's talk some more about Connor Hellebuyck. So I wake up this morning. I've been away. Turn on WGR. They're talking about Connor Hellebuyck. It's still The ball is still in the air on this one, it seems. And I was thinking, and I'll tell you how I feel if you haven't already heard. Have you changed your mind on this idea in the last month or so, or since the season ended? In either direction, 803-0550, have you changed your mind? Have you been swayed one way or another on Hellebuyck? I got a call half an hour ago from a guy who was laying out the logic for, well, how good do they think they're going to be? And how does that affect their choice on Hellebuyck? Paul was on earlier, and Paul said, this has been consistent from him, they're not going to pay the price on Hellebuyck. So the asking price anyway. And, you know, that's quite possible. They haven't traded for him yet. And that's how this goes. It doesn't often go into the middle of July or even later, but this one might. It seems like a deal where the team is sort of feeling like it has to move on. That's how it sort of reads to me. And that the player wants to go, which is, you know, why the team would feel like it has to move on. Is there an argument that Winnipeg would want to move on because of Hellebuyck's season last year and his age? That's how they'll justify it. If they trade him, and whether it's Luukkonen or some other new goalie and combination of players, they'll probably in a nice way promote it as, well, you know, things run their course, right? I think for me, and I'd love to know how you feel about this, because I think this has been an interesting thing to measure. I haven't been here for 11 days. And as, what do we have? We had the draft the week before that, and then free agency July 1st. I was last here on July 2nd. And I was never quite at the point where I was comfortable with this idea. I, for a long time, have not been up for investing big in goaltenders. Look what this team did anyway with the goaltenders they had, et cetera, et cetera. It's not a hard argument to make. But the more I listen to the speculation, the greater my appetite gets. And one thing or the other comes first, but I get hungrier for this idea, and I also can find a way to better justify it. Now I've got Peyton Krebs in the fold for $19 million or $18 million over the next 4 years. I mean, that's a pretty serious investment. They got that done before arbitration hearings. And okay, like, I don't think you trade him after that. I don't really want to guess, limit myself to who might have to go if they were to make such a trade. But I still think that they want to. I still think that they can, and that Winnipeg wants to. And if they don't, they don't. If Winnipeg doesn't ever come around, well, okay, then we'll just play. The Sabres have an interesting, do you agree with this? The Sabres have the leverage on Hellebuyck? Is that sort of inside out, upside down, if that's true? They had 109 points. And if there's any player in the league that they would deal for, but they can't get it done, okay. Well, let's play. But Winnipeg is in a position of weakness. Not just because they had a down year. They had an excellent year the year before. But if there's pressure internally from Hellebuyck to move, and now you have today, apparently somebody thinks that he wants this. And that's a whole other level of this that's exciting. Because that never happens. Even with the Bills and Josh Allen, most of the time it still ends up being kind of a pipe dream. Whether that was Beckham or Miles Garrett, anybody else Von Miller recommended? We did get Von Miller, which was not in the end a good deal. Could have been. He stays healthy a little bit longer. Maybe that is an all-time great deal. They win. But why wouldn't you do it? Because of his age, and he got hurt, and, you know, and not money well spent in the end, I would say. That's not entirely fair to the Bills. Because what's this about? Let me step back a minute. What is the Hellebuyck thing about? It's about taking your swings. And this would be that. So my mind has changed somewhat significantly on this, and I have to say, part of it is like the appetite point. Part of it is that I would just find it so exciting. And isn't that part of sports too? Shouldn't that kind of thing be baked into the equation when you talk about a move that you like or don't like? Even a step further, can't we here in Buffalo appreciate that even more? For all the times our stars have left to go somewhere better. And there is a list that will take us the rest of the day to run down of players that decided this wasn't good enough for them. I got a guy who, not necessarily, but you can certainly make the case, he still got it. He's been arguably the best goalie in the league for like 6 years, most of the last 6 years. If he wants you, how do you say no? What does it cost? Tell me what it costs. And this is really different for me, because I am a draft pick hoarder. I am a prospect hoarder. Oh, no. Wait. I haven't won yet. And I've got this pick or this player in the future. They could be the one. That could be the piece that I need to put me over the top. You're telling me I have to give up four of those to get one guy? It's just like, that's a really hard one for me. Always, any situation, four for one. I mean, not in fantasy. The kind of trade you want to make in fantasy is like that, where you're trading for, you know, just a guy, guys, for the one star. Why can't that be true in the real sports? Has anybody changed their mind on this? 803-0550 is the number. I would have to say that I have. But certain outside factors come into play. Like, you're bored. It's summer. You're missing hockey. You're imagining opening night with the gold medal winning goalie from Team USA in net and introduced in that home opener. What does the crowd sound like? Holy cow. USA, if you're into that, I mean, it'd be deafening for Hellebuck. Like, that's not a small thing. It would be worth a lot, I think, to everybody in and around the Sabres if they were to do it. And if it costs them, name the names. You can probably get me to a point where I wouldn't do it. But much different than I felt when we last spoke, I'm in the mood. 803-0550 is the number. I've been off more than a week, like I said, and have had all kinds of different things on my mind. That's what always happens when I'm gone for a period of time. Loving World Cup, hate the continuing ridiculously unnecessary, unfortunate footprint that replay plays in these games. Did you watch Saturday? I mean, I'm really into it. Maybe you are too. Not everybody is. I didn't see it, but I saw on Twitter England's first goal against Norway hit a cable. A pass hit a cable up on, it's LA, right? No, it was Miami. That game was in Miami. But apparently there was some deflection on a pass where maybe that was supposed to be a dead ball and it wasn't noticed. And England went and scored. They get the game into injury time. They score again and win. And now that you have, this is really a big part of the replay problem. Now that you have a increasingly intrusive replay system in all sports, where what sports are doing all the time is trying to find more ways to use it, which is inevitably counterproductive, but more ways to use it. So now that you have sort of a belief that replay is going to save you from any bad call, oh, it didn't. What the hell? Why didn't replay fix that? It's another one of many obvious reasons why it doesn't work. So that happens. And then in that night game, holy cow, Argentina and the Swiss. This is a very American football example. or hockey. That's better. Hockey. Hockey has a rule. Am I right? Do I remember this right? Where officials call a penalty a major, even if they don't think it was, so that they have the recourse to review it and they can bring that back to a minor or take the penalty away. Isn't that right? If the referee calls a minor penalty, there's no reviewing it. If they call a major, they can. And that's really exactly what happened in the soccer game where Argentina got a yellow for a tackle. And they looked at it more closely. Somebody tells the referee, we want you to look at this more closely. He doesn't do it on his own. They go to the video and decide that the Swiss player, the victim of this, quote, tackle, dived on his own. And because it was a yellow card in the first place, they have they have the opportunity to look at the review. And they look at the review, and they're like, hey, guys, actually, that was not a yellow card, and it was diving instead, and because we have the review, that's a yellow card, which is your second, so that's a red card, and you're out. And the guy is literally bawling on the field because he can't believe that he just got thrown out of the biggest game of his life for a dive. We all know from watching soccer to whatever extent that diving is a very serious infraction in soccer. It's not like you see it 100 times in every game. But this time, it cost the guy his life in the tournament, and it cost his team the game, probably. Swiss was, like, winning. They were 1-1, but they were taking the play to Argentina. They had just tied the game, and it was going their way. And then this play happens, and because of the letter of the law, now that it's a yellow, that means we can review it, and we'll review it and change it. And I think, and I've heard a lot of people say different, but I know Stu Holden, who had the game on Fox, said something to this effect. You feel that pressure coming and expect contact. And even if you don't, I know how this sounds. Even if you don't get it, you go down, you're expecting that contact. Is that really a card? And in this case, a second. And you know, what can I say? I think it was the last day I was here. Maybe after, it wasn't Balogun, but there was something else. I remember saying Balogun, the American player who got the red card, it was overturned after the game had ended. I mean, it wasn't until the next game where they rescinded it or suspended the suspension and let him play. And you had a moment there where you can find, I mean, it's in what, seconds or tenths of seconds. You can find a picture of Balogun stepping on the foot of, it was Bosnia, right? Stepping on the foot of the player. And, oh, red card, and that's what they called. And we had Brandon Cooks against Denver. And, oh, look at this. I can find an exact second or split second of Brandon Cooks with the ball on the ground. Therefore, that's a catch. No, it isn't. Watch the play. That's not a catch. It's an interception. Watch the play. Oh, wait. I've got a picture of the guy with the ball on the ground. I've got a picture of Balogun on the guy's foot. No, it isn't. You can't have both. You cannot be pro Cook's catch, and it's ancient history now, Balogun, but also pro rescind the suspension. Which way do I want that? Both the Cook's catch and the Balogun foul are, I can find a little, I've got a billion cameras. I've got all the technology, and I'll take all the time I want. I can find an image. This is like JFK. You can find an image of exactly what you want to believe. And this is just how it's all being, I can't say ruined. It's not like sports isn't healthy, but man, remember watching, you're old enough to have watched sports and the call was the call? Like, no, I'm getting no's all around me here. No, no one's old enough anymore to remember that. That was it. We got through it. We still loved it. I'm Mike Shope, 803-0550. Have you changed your mind on Hellebuck? Thoughts on the replay thing? I know it's just sort of droning on that one, but the World Cup won't quit. Sports won't quit. For the level of officiousness that is supposed to be helping us that isn't. Just see the whole board, people. Back after the update here on WGR.
Running backs are like chicken wings, right? They're all really good, but depending on what flavor you like, it's going to be different. You know, you may have drums or flats. You may like barbecue or hot or something like that, but they all work in some way, shape, or form, hopefully for you. And I think it depends on what you want in a running back and what James Cook does and what other running backs do. And, you know, obviously he's kind of a little bit of Mr. Everything, but the Mr. Everything part hasn't completely shown up in the passing game as much recently. And that's what we expected when he was drafted. I just think the volume will be less this year, giving him the ball, handing it to him. But I think that volume can be made up for by throwing. And I think a really big difference here this year is Pete Carmichael Jr. now being the offensive coordinator.
Listen to Sal, by the way, coming over a little bit to my side of thinking when it comes to chicken wings. There certainly is a range. For me, no offense to anybody in the chicken wing world, chicken wing, rabid chicken wing enthusiasts, the range is like this. Good, bad. It's like this. My hands are put next to each other like I could clap them that fast. Like if the goalposts, the distance between the goalposts and football were like reduced by 80%. They're just like this. Here's good, here's bad. What's bad? You know, but Sal's making an important point. Flavor can make the difference. I'm sure chicken wing people will tell you it's more than that. But I don't know. It's always been for me like, yeah, fine. Anytime I'm asked where are the best wings, like, I don't know. Wherever's closest. And I know that's sacrilege, and Bulldog hates when I say that, and I think most people do. But wherever's closest is good enough for me. Now, a lot of other foods are like this. Not chicken wings, not hot dogs, maybe not even pizza. I'm willing to go a little bit wider on pizza, maybe the actual NFL goalpost width. But you know, a Reuben, well, that's not even that good of an example. I don't want to name my favorite example. I have to think about it, and maybe it would offend because it would sound like, you know, I'm spending $200 on every dinner or something like that, which I'm definitely not. But, you know, other things, there's more craftsmanship perhaps. There's more, I better stop. This always gets me into trouble. 803-0550 is the number. Hey, Sal said it. Sal kind of said it. Now, he started it. I'll blame him. Jason is next. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
Loving your take on the World Cup. Watching Argentina eke its way through these last three games with the help of FIFA is giving me real KC Chiefs vibes. Like, they were life and death against Cabo Verde, and they were the 64th ranked team in the world. Egypt was ranked in the 20s, and they had no business beating Egypt. That was a robbery.
Two nothing late,
and a disallowed Egypt goal that would have made it 3-0. Then a dubious penalty to tie it late, and the red card against the Swiss player. You're right, the Swiss were the better team up until that red card. And Argentina is just getting all the breaks. That the road they had to get to the semifinals was so crazy easy, and they're making it look so bloody hard. And they're getting help in the process. And it's just, I have to tell you, I'm growing to hate them.
Who are you rooting for? Not them.
Well, not them. No, now England. Oh, now, absolutely, without England. A doubt. God save the king.
I am totally in on England, too. I mean, what a great story. And what
a great team to watch. Oh, my God. They showed so much heart against Mexico. Kane and Bellingham are, in my mind, the two best players in the whole tournament.
Yeah.
I know you can make a case for the Dembe and the guy from France.
Mbappe.
But Mbappe, yeah, you can make a case for those two. But England just looks so much – there's so much fun to watch, and those two guys are just the heart and soul of the team.
You know the rosters better than I do. Does England have a player on the wing named Gordon, Anthony Gordon?
Yes, he's phenomenal.
Oh, in the game in Mexico, this guy could not stop running. I mean, really, it was awesome.
Oh, and he basically caused the turnover that led to the second goal.
Yeah, I mean,
or the third goal. The third goal, he led to the penalty. He's all over the place.
That's right, the 3-1 goal in Mexico. Is that the play?
The 3-1 goal.
That's
right,
the goalie tripped him.
So much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, the goalie tripped him. Yeah, they're so much fun to watch, and I just hope... I hope karma comes back and bites Argentina, and England gets to go through.
Well, it doesn't hurt your comparison that the Argentina's home base is Kansas City.
They it really looked like it. It really it has a KC Chiefs vibe to it.
I know they thanks Jason. The last game was at Arrowhead, and maybe another one. I feel like I heard that they were sort of camped there. Now, I'm not calling fix on toward Argentina, although as somebody who could prosper if England beats them, I kind of like that maybe the noise is so loud on this Argentina point that England will benefit. And really, I mean, Argentina won the last one, and isn't it time for England? Can we agree on this? Isn't it time? No, that isn't my case. I'm not claiming that Argentina is intentionally getting breaks, like from officiating. I'm just saying that, like in everything else in sports, it seems, replay structure is so far gone, over the top. Of course there are plays where they fix an error, but the different processes and loopholes and the constant delays. I'll ask you this. Baseball, right? People are talking about baseball right now with it being the All-Star break, the game tomorrow, the Home Run Derby tonight. I follow baseball closely. Not as closely as I used to. I couldn't name everybody's starting rotation, but I'm there. All these balls and strike calls, right? I listened to a few different games in my car yesterday, driving to La Crosse and then home. I'll tell you a fun thing about the Padres broadcast in a second. Funny to me. All these balls and strike calls. You ever hear anybody complain about it? Well, I mean, we don't want to complain in life too much. Pick your spots. But, this is fine enough. Batter or catcher, it's almost never the pitcher, although they're allowed to. Challenge a call. Umpire comes around home plate. Announced to the crowd, so-and-so is challenging the call. And then only seconds later is it decided. And it sounds like to everybody, it sounds like to me, when it comes to everybody's analysis, broadcasters mostly, at the site, this is not a problem. Arizona has two challenges remaining. Toronto's down to one. Cleveland used its last challenge, and it's only the fourth inning. Their announcers will whine about that. They'll make that a big deal. Like they haven't gone 150 years without any challenge access at all. Now it's like, uh-oh. How many wins is it worth a year? If you're in baseball, if you're the best at challenges, now we've got stats. Like I heard one, I don't know who it was, maybe the Dodgers. One catcher yesterday got a challenge right. He's got 8 right this year. How many wins? And is it worth any of it? How many wins a year do you add if you're the best team at challenges? Balls and strikes, 2 per game. Is it even 1? Why do we need this? Why do we need soccer to review fouls and have it end up that the card is turned the other way around, which can only happen if it's a card in the first place? Why do we need this? Football, which is always in our face with replay crap, and it's mostly, if not entirely, all crap. Football tried to force down our throats pass interference reviews, and they bailed on it almost immediately. Uh-oh. Well, this isn't going to be good, because guess what? And this show said it the same day as the word came down that they were going to do this, the same day. Watch what happens. If they want to show these replays, they won't necessarily want to, because they'll be so glaringly obvious. If they want to show any pass play in the NFL, any game, I can find pass interference, I promise you. So you want to do it like that? You want to take the entire any pass play in any game, illegal contact, if we include that, even better. Illegal contact, pass interference, holding, any infraction against a defensive back or a linebacker in coverage on any play. I can find you an example of that on almost any play in any season ever. Well, isn't that what we want? Get it right. It's all so stupid. And you can tell from my voice, and I admit it openly every time, I know how annoying this all is, because nobody ever really wants to talk about these points and make this point, especially if you're working, if you're in the system, if you're in the machine. You're not going to sit there and Joe Girardi on a Yankees broadcast is not going to go, damn, this is such a waste of time. Who cares? Let's play. Because it only takes 10 seconds. Then it's 40. Then it's 2 minutes. And then it's more. And then it's 162 times whatever it is. Can we just please, is it really that important that the Texas Rangers get a strike call in the third inning against Seattle in May? Do we have to have that? And then you have it on this World Cup stage, and it's more of a scandal. And you have people who think it's just fixed for Argentina, which I can't believe it is, even if it is FIFA. It's just the dumb system that's a function, a product of how obsessed we are with replay and getting calls right. The Blue Jays played in San Diego yesterday. I had that game on until it ended. Mason Miller, by the way. The Blue Jays, including Guerrero, three strikes and you're out. Just blows them all away. The Blue Jays might have been up 4-3 in the eighth, and the Padres scored two that eventually won them the game. Manny Machado, this also drives me crazy. It's a good time to force this in with the replay stuff. Manny Machado got a hit in the eighth to drive in a run, and the announcer for the Padres said something like, "Oh, that'll put a smile on your face," which is brought to you by Smile Spirits, vodka, tequila, and more. Like, they have to force into their broadcast, presumably every game, somebody put a smile on your face by something they did. It's like Susan Waldman, what was it, with the Yankees? I forget now. You'll remember. Susan Waldman, Dave Sims, it wasn't the voice of the Yankees. It was something about, like, setting up a game, and it was, like, equally ridiculous just to make that extra money. That'll put a smile on your face, which he's only saying because he's got to read the Smiles liquor spot. Now I'm part of the problem. I'm contributing. I've given, importantly, Smiles liquor a little bit extra juice there. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Shope. More next here on WGR.